You are listening to WBCA LP 102.9 FM, Boston's community radio station. Welcome to the Mindful Aging Show, where we explore the connection between health, mindful aging, and aging gracefully to give you information to make choices that educate and empower you to be your best advocate and live your life fully. My name is Sebra B., and I am the host of the show. The goal of the Mindful Aging Show is to identify and define mindful aging from your perspective and put into action for you to live a life that you value. With this show, I want to explore mindful aging and find out what that really means and how we do it. I also want to talk about education, empowerment, and advocacy, and how you can take action. When we talk about being mindful, sometimes the first thing that comes to our mind is focusing, being in the moment, meditating, just slowing down. But I want to add another definition, and that definition is being fully focused. So today, we're going to talk about sleep, and more specifically, sleep in the elderly. In an article from the Journal of the Missouri State Medical Association entitled Sleep in the Elderly, a research study was conducted on the sleep patterns of the elderly. In the article, it discusses aging, statistics on aging, and sleep issues around aging and the elderly. The article said that aging is really associated with several changes in sleep patterns. Older adults have increased prevalence of primary sleep disorders, including insomnia, sleep-disordered breathing, restless leg syndrome, REM sleep behavior disorder, and circadian rhythm disturbances. These can further compromise sleeping and can be compromised by these disturbances, secondary also to medical and psychiatric disorders, and sometimes medication side effects. So this article that I'm going to be focusing on today discusses age-related changes in sleep architecture, the etiology or the cause of these sleep disturbances. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the clinical presentations that the article talks about, and also some treatment options. So the article starts by talking about the importance of sleep, and it says that sleep is an important aspect of health and wellness, actually across the lifespan. The number of people in the U.S. who are 65 years old and older is really steadily growing. And by the year 2030, or really, what is that, about six? Actually, it's 6 years. It's about 6 years from now. It says that one in five people in the U.S. will be over the age of 65. Think about that. This is 2024. And in approximately 6 years, one in five people in the United States will be over the age of 65. And that's expected to double over the next 25 years to about 72 million people. So sleep physiology changes with age, and many sleep disorders increase in the elderly. As many as 50% of older adults, and the article sort of compares it with people who are under 65, so compared to 15.9 to 22.3% of the general population, complain about sleep problems. In the elderly population, a large contributing factor to poor sleep is the high prevalence of medical and psychiatric comorbidities, in addition to the issues of polypharmacy, which is being on multiple medications. Sleep complaints, when they persist, can lead to daytime sleepiness, because of course, if you can't sleep at night, most of the time, especially if you are at home and you're not active or doing anything, you fall asleep a lot during the day. And when you're falling asleep during the day, like I said, you're not doing things, you're not moving, and that can actually lead to morbidity in elderly people. It can lead to things like impaired cognition. It can lead to disorientation, delirium, as well as increased risks of falls. People with sleep disorders are often more likely to develop cardiovascular and cerebrovascular disorders. That's heart and brain disorders. And individuals with a history of these medical disorders are often at a high risk for developing sleep disorders. Sleep disturbance in the elderly should be considered a multifactorial geriatric health condition requiring considerations of multiple risk factors and a comprehensive treatment approach. So in essence, this is an issue that has a lot of factors in the geriatric population. And when you are looking at this, especially with your doctor, there needs to be a comprehensive assessment and a comprehensive plan to treat this. So in the article, like I said, they're focusing on a lot of different sleep disorders, but some of them that are what's considered the common ones that are related to the quality of life in the elderly population. So when we talk about sleep changes that happen with aging, as a part of the natural aging process, sleep becomes more fragmented and lighter. And according to this article, when they did some studies and they did the test of the brain function, they noticed that there were regular periods where people wake up at night and have a hard time going back to sleep, and it caused a decreased total sleep time. It says that a lot of changes occur within this period of time, and it shows, it had a little table, and that table said that as we get older, what increases is the time awake after you go to sleep, the number of times that you're aroused from your sleep, and just the long period of time that you are sleeping actually decreases. That's your, you know, that's your total sleep time. So, like I said, when we're looking at that, the times that you're awake seem to increase at night, and your longevity or your length for sleep decreases. It also talks about the fact that the elderly tend to go to bed earlier and wake up earlier when compared to younger adults. And this shift is due to the circadian rhythm that is really like a pacemaker. And this talks about being able to How could I describe it? With the circadian rhythm as a pacemaker, meaning that there are different times of the night, and actually the day, but focusing on the night, where certain parts of your body or certain organs are taking over, so to speak, to regulate your heart, to regulate your nervous system, to allow for resting muscles, to increase agitation with your muscles and your nerves, which is where restless leg syndrome sort of sits in and is involved with. So aging is associated with a decrease or malfunction in the sensitivity of the central nervous system and to the environment, which also controls the circadian rhythm, since that is on a 24-hour-a-day or, you know, day-night cycle. It also talks about a substance that helps us to sleep called melatonin. And that says, and this is a naturally made substance in our body. And as we get older, our melatonin levels actually go down. And it talks a little bit about, and not to get, you know, too clinical about this, because I don't really want to go into that. I will tell you that in future episodes, I'm going to have a clinical person come in and talk about, you know, the clinical presentation of sleep and what that means. But this article also talks about a hormone that's called cortisol, that those levels raise in the daytime and they start to slowly go down at night in our body. And as that cortisol level goes down, the melatonin, like I said, which actually helps us to sleep, that level should rise. But it doesn't necessarily do that as we grow older. And if they are in balance, it has a lot to do with the quality of your health. But as we know, as we get older, many of us have a lot of health problems, such as osteoarthritis or cardiovascular disease or pulmonary disease. And some of us suffer from some psychiatric illnesses. Some of us have diabetes, and some of us have reflux with our digestive system and with cancer. And because of that, we're on medications that can also affect the way that we sleep and contribute to some of these sleep disorders. So it's reasonable to say that sleep problems in the elderly are usually multifactorial and are not necessarily explained by age alone. So a few of the sleep disorders that this article focuses on include things like insomnia and, like I said, issues with your circadian rhythm being off, medications that affect your sleeping, sleep apnea, where sometimes you stop breathing at night, affects your sleep. So I just want to go into a brief description of some of these age-related sleep disorders. Insomnia is the first one that this article talks about, and it says that there is a high prevalence of reported sleep disturbances in the elderly. This one research paper that was quoted in this article talked about many factors that increase the risk of developing insomnia as we get older. For example, sleep complaints may be caused by behavioral and environmental issues. A lot of people that are over 65 are retired and may not feel like they need to be on a regular schedule since they no longer have to work and they don't have to worry about going to sleep at a particular time and getting up at a particular time. A number of the primary sleep disorders, like I said, that include restless leg syndrome, which is movement of your legs, involuntary movement of your legs, the stopping of the breathing that I talked about called sleep apnea, and sometimes people have rapid eye movements in their sleep. And those can present like their insomnia. But this article says that, you know, sometimes those are the effects of the environment. The article also talks about medications that people can be on that can also cause insomnia. And some of those are beta blockers, which are medications that people take for blood pressure and for heart problems. Bronchodilators, which are medicines that people take, you know, to help you breathe when you have asthma and respiratory disorders like that. Medications for high blood pressure, medications for depression. A lot of those can also cause insomnia. There are also some of the health issues, like I just mentioned, that are sleep disorders. Can cause sleep disorders. For example, like I said, the cardiopulmonary disorders, arthritis, chronic pain syndrome, even if you have reflux. You know, a lot of times that's why they tell you don't eat or either stop eating about 2 hours before you're going to go to bed, because when you go to lie down flat, sometimes that food that's in your digestive system has not all totally digested. So when you go to lay down, you get that acid feeling in your stomach. And of course, what are you going to do? You're going to get up, because sometimes it feels like it's burning in your throat. So that can cause, you know, problems with your sleep. It also talks, as we said, some of the psychiatric disorders like depression and anxiety. Too much caffeine can cause insomnia also. And as we said, medications and some of those other issues like restless leg syndrome and sleep apnea. So due to the high prevalence and negative consequences of insomnia in older adults, screening for insomnia and other sleep disorders really should be included in the routine clinical evaluation. So what that means is if you find that you are really having a problem with staying asleep, number one, but number two, waking up at night and not being able to go back to sleep, or going to sleep and then waking up and then waking up and then going to sleep, you know, just having a night where you are not able to sleep thoroughly and consistently through the night, it's important to talk to your doctor about that so that you can have your doctor do a really good assessment of why. And in that assessment, some of the doctors or some of the questions that the doctors will ask you about are called a detailed history. They'll be asking you about who you sleep with, because some people do have a partner that they sleep with that maybe snores or gets up or works late or watch TV at night. And you might be the person that doesn't do any of that, but it's keeping you awake. They'll ask you what you do during the day. They'll ask you about your dietary habits. Do you drink coffee or any other stimulants before you go to bed? There are also tests that they can do that involve using equipment. Although those are not usually used in routine evaluations, if that insomnia is so severe and accompanied by problems with your breathing or, you know, those involuntary movements that we're talking about, the doctor might use that or a sleep specialist might use that. Now, when we talk about some of the medications that people are on, they talk about some of the serious medications that doctors should really be cautious with their elderly patients, because some of these medications can also not only cause them to be awake, but it can have the opposite effect and make them so sleepy that if they have to get up in the middle of the night, they might be disoriented or confused or dizzy. And you know what happens when you're feeling like that? You're high risk for falling. Or if you're taking certain medication at night and it relaxes your blood pressure, let's say, and you have to get up to go to the bathroom, you're dizzy, your blood pressure has dropped, and you could fall. So when your doctor does that assessment for your sleep patterns and all of the things that can affect your sleep, it's important for you to, if it's your primary care doctor or a doctor that you see on a regular basis, it's important for you to make sure that they remember those medications that you're on. And it's also important for you to let them know what's going on. You know, with my last show, I talked about being your own health advocate. And I said, when you're going to the doctor, have your specific issues written down that you want to talk about. And this would be an example, a very good example of that, so that you can talk to your doctor about why you're not getting sleep. You know, insomnia being one of the reasons why people have problems sleeping. Another problem that it talks about is what's called obstructive sleep apnea. And that, very simply, on a layman's terms, is that when you're sleeping, you stop breathing. And it could be for a millisecond, but you stop breathing. And what's interesting is that this article says that obstructive sleep apnea's prevalence in older adults may be as high as 70% in men and 56% in women, as compared to the prevalence estimated of 15% in men and 5% in women of the general adult population. And it talks about the increase in the prevalence has been attributed to the structural changes in the upper airway as we grow older, and that elderly people are more likely to present with excessive daytime sleepiness and being awake or even sleeping with snoring, not even being reported. So think about that. You're sleeping during the daytime. You're awake at night. You drop off to sleep. You don't stay asleep very long, but in that short period of time, you stop breathing. That obstructive sleep apnea. Very, very concerning. So that's something that you want to be able to report, or, you know, if your loved one or your partner that you're sleeping with notices that, that's very, very important to mention, you know, to your doctor. Just as an aside, when you talk about the obstructive sleep apnea, that can contribute to a lot of things, high blood pressure being one of them. The article even goes on to say that that can be a contributing factor to some of the chronic diseases like diabetes or problems with your heart. So that's a big one. And we know that when a person is diagnosed with obstructive sleep apnea, because you stop breathing, you need to have oxygen that allows you to keep breathing through the night. And a lot of people are prescribed a particular machine called a CPAP machine, which can be very helpful. You put it on at night, and it delivers that oxygen so that when you do have those periods of night of not being able to breathe, you're still getting that oxygen, you know, to your brain. That's a very, very simplistic definition of sleep apnea and the CPAP machine. And like I said, in a future episode, we're going to go into all of the clinical issues around sleep deprivation, problems with sleep in the elderly. So that's just something very simply that I wanted to talk about. Now, when we talk about the sleep-related movement, this article talks about restless leg syndrome. And with restless leg syndrome, sometimes they don't know what the cause is, but sometimes they do. And interestingly enough, this article talks about some of the reasons for the restless leg syndrome could be iron deficiency anemia, if you have chronic kidney disease, or peripheral neuropathy, which is, you know, some numbness in your lower extremities. But they're also some medications that can cause this restless leg syndrome. And this talks about some of the medications that people can take for depression can cause restless leg syndrome. Excessive caffeine intake and smoking can worsen the symptoms. It says that restless leg syndrome is common in older people with an estimated prevalence of 10 to 35% among those over 65 years of age, which doesn't seem like a lot, 10 to 35%, but think about it. It can be quite a large number. And it says that the majority of the people with restless leg syndrome have these movements of the big toe and the ankle and occur occasionally of the knee and the hip. There is a specific way that it's diagnosed. So once again, that ties into you being your own health advocate and telling your doctor that this is what's going on so that they can either do the right assessment or conduct the right assessment or refer you to a specialist that would be able to conduct the right assessment. What I think is very interesting when it talks about iron deficiency anemia, another reason that it's important to say something to your doctor, because if you are iron deficient, your doctor can assess that and maybe be able to put you on iron supplements to help with that. But it specifically has to be assessed by your doctor for them to determine the treatment for your iron deficiency anemia. Because there are some circumstances where as we get older, you do want to make sure that you don't have too much iron in your blood because that can cause a problem. So to just wrap things up, yes, as we get older, we do have problems with sleeping. We have problems with our sleeping patterns, and there are a lot of things that affect our sleeping patterns. So it's really important to, as I said, try to identify these sleeping problems that you have, write them down, talk to your doctor, and take some of those lifestyle initiatives that I talked about to help yourself with your sleeping patterns. And in a future show, as I said before, I'm going to have some experts come on and talk to us about all of the things that affect sleep as we grow older. You've been listening to WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's community radio station. And I am Sebra B., your host of the Mindful Aging Show. I look forward to sharing my information with you, as always, next time.